speak to you guys, am I supposed to speak here or to them, or?
Or if you're comfortable.
Okay, both, it's good to see all you guys. So, I'm here, I represent, North Utica, Sixth Ward. And number one, your project up top there, the housing that's up by 12 North, I'm not very much concerned about that because that's a Deerfield project, okay? However, when I look at this project down here, okay, there's four sides to the project. Three sides, we don't have anything to do with. The fourth side, probably from here to the end of this building, away from our people, okay? We have severe flooding issues up there and, traffic, I'm not so concerned. My main purpose for being here is for you guys to know who I am, so you have my contacts. So when we're going forward, we are getting Utica involved to go see the flood mitigation process, so we can see any traffic studies, any security, studies. I have a little bit of a problem that I didn't have till I just walked in here. I was on the phone with the developer, Mr. Papaleo, for 45 minutes tonight, and the way that he explained this to me, that it was a hotel, a convenience store, no housing was in there, when now there is housing in there, and your map, the map there, where you've got the stream, is not accurate on that map either. So, I'm from Utica, I can't control what you guys do in Deerfield. I'm not here to try to block what you do, but I think there needs to be a lot more transparency. For example, you know, originally it's all over the news that it's low-income housing. When I look into it, it's workforce housing, okay? Which is still federal housing. In other words, if I make $150,000 and want to live there, I can.
Right.
Yeah, okay, it goes by your income. These people all have been in these houses for years, and now you're going to put lower income or whatever subsidized housing in their backyard with flooding issues. All I'm doing, you guys are all council people up here, you get elected by people and you're representing. And I'm here to represent my people to make sure what is done the right way. That's all I ask. So going forward, you guys all got my cards. Any meetings that you have here, I'd like to be involved in them, and I will bring the engineering and the planning board, or Brian Thomas from Urban Economic, and I want to work together and do this. By no means am I here to say kill this project because it's not in my territory, okay? But it is up to me to take care of my people that live near there, okay? And I appreciate you guys giving me the time. I know I worked with Sam before and our different flooding things. I think we work great together, and I think we need to do that, so. Okay, and I appreciate it. So anybody needs to get a hold of me, you guys all know my number. You call me anytime you want, okay?
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. All right, we're gonna move right into new business with resolutions. We have resolution 35-2025, Summer Park Program Appointees. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve the hiring of youth counselors attached on the back of the resolution to the Deerfield Summer Youth Program. There is one amendment. Ann Christofferi was the youth leader for the summer. Jesse Weiler will be taking that role for Ann. Christofferi, second one down.
Jesse Weiler?
Yeah, and Ann's just going to kind of float when Jesse or Gina or Gino are out, because Gino's got some stuff going on with his master's degree.
He's doing his master's for teaching.
Yeah. So I need a motion. We approve resolution 35-2025.
Motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to just say again that I would really like it and appreciate it if the board would take time whenever there's a resolution, even if it's an obvious one like this, to open it to the board so the board can function as a board and discuss any issues that there might be, and then vote on the resolution. It kind of seems a little backwards to be voting on a resolution and we just walk in and see it in front of us. You know what I mean? And some of them are bigger issues.
When did you have this in the mail, in our mailbox? Was this last week?
Yeah.
Friday.
Okay. Friday?
Thursday.
I checked my mailbox, I think.
No.
It was on the table.
But it was
you had it on the table?
It was my mistake. It was on the table instead of your mailbox.
All right. So the point being is that the board can function more efficiently as a board if we have some mechanism to where the board can discuss things before we vote on it. I mean, I've never been on a board where there was never a review process before any resolutions or legislation was voted on. It would be nice. Like, when it comes to youth, and I happen to, in a past life, been deeply involved with youth athletics on the national level, and, you know, there's a lot of concerns. I don't know the issue here. I'm not really that familiar with the Deerfield Youth Program, but there's issues with qualifications of the people. There's issues with training of the people. There's issues of background checks of the people whenever you're dealing with youth. So that's something that a board can intelligently maybe discuss. And like I said, I don't want to get into how deep it was, but I have another life with this stuff. So once again, this resolution, it's a no-brainer. It's great. It's a great program. But there should be a mechanism where the board has an opportunity to review resolutions. Sometimes there's three or four resolutions. Let's meet at six just to review resolutions and then vote on them. I'd vote in favor.
Okay.
Bill? Robert's rule of order we follow, and isn't the discussion time before the individual votes?
Unless you adopt a resolution formally accepting Robert's Rules of Procedure, which is a book like this that you could never get past one resolution, so I don't recommend it.
Okay.
But typically what happens is the motion is put on the floor, there's a first, a second, and then there's a time for discussion at that point.
And then after the
discussion, somebody calls the question and it's voted on.
So there's a first and a second.
Yeah.
To get it before the board formally, and then there's a discussion.
Right, because a month or two ago, I said, can we discuss this first? And Mr. Supervisor said, well, you can discuss it before you vote. But by the time that came around, it was already voted on before, so it was voted. So we should find whatever method to where we can function as a board, as an intelligent, effective board. And if there is an issue, we can maybe, between five people, find it out or ensure we're making the right decisions. That's my point.
So you're looking at, like, meeting at 6 p.m. versus...
When there's a lot of resolutions, it may not even take that much, maybe 6:15. If we had some sort of preempting, like, hey, there's five resolutions, these are the topics, do we feel we need to make? And if we feel we need to meet to discuss? If one member says yes, then yes, we should give it at least 15 minutes.
I don't agree with that.
Very, very good idea. And that has to be done in an open session.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
We announce the open session.
Because everyone has the right to vote yes or no, and if they've got discussion, they can bring it up before their vote. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't work in all cases.
It's worked here since the town's been here.
I've been paying attention for a long time. Where did this resolution come from? Who drafted it?
Karen.
Okay. Who's seen it before Friday?
Before.
Karen.
Okay. What prompted Karen to draft it? You wrote it up, but what initiative?
It's June.
Before
and
the youth program starts.
The youth program, starts in July, and it has to be voted on at least the month before. That's when I got all the kids to sign up and made the decisions to hire.
I think my point is clear, and I would like to present it to the supervisor to entertain that possibility.
How would we go about that if we had to meet? Because that would be a quorum at 6:30, correct?
Just meet 15 minutes earlier.
Well, I want to make sure we legally do it correctly.
Everyone would have to be notified. Everyone.
All right, I'm asking our town attorney.
You said that you
could
do that.
Okay, that's fine. But this is Deerfield.
If you have to be discussing these items in open session.
Okay?
So whether you put out that the meeting starts at 6:15 and then you meet and take no public comment and just discuss it, that's fine. But again, the procedure typically I see is there's a motion, a first, a second, then there's a discussion, and then there's a call for the final vote.
Okay.
And that's the part we're lacking is the discussion. That could even be done after 6:30. We start the meeting, and then we have resolutions. We'd like to, you know, get a first, a second, and open it up for discussion. That you could start this. It adds 10 minutes to a meeting. Because most of the time, the resolutions are very good and necessary.
So I agree.
Okay.
What was that?
Yeah.
I said to him, go ahead.
No, I would address. Yeah.
Thank
okay,
you.
Yeah. We'll talk about it, and we'll get a game plan for it. Yeah. No, nope, that's a good idea.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We do have an additional resolution that we have to add to the meeting that just popped up tonight. It'd be resolution 36-2025. It's titled June 18th workshop meeting regarding the Horatio Street project. So at the last meeting, we spoke about having the town board and the planning board get together to talk. And in order to do that, I was just told by Bill, you know, we do have to put out the public notice. But we also have to pass a resolution to do so. So
you're going to have a quorum there. You must.
Correct. Yeah.
Joe, that would be a good one for you to come to.
Yeah, but you guys do them. I don't know if you do it purposely, but you do them the same nights a year for my council meeting.
We have our meeting on the
first and third Wednesday of each month. So
we set this meeting for Wednesday because it worked for the planning board and the town board already. But I mean, we'll be able to. I'll take notes too. Well, I'll take notes, I'm sure, and we can get those.
What time is the meeting at?
6:00.
6:00. So I will do what I did last week. I will. So we do what we do, and I'm not saying we have a 6:00 meeting, and we go over all our resolutions and stuff, and see if we're putting it in committee or if we're voting. That's called a pre-meeting. It's a live meeting, so I can skip that meeting, and I'll try to come here for 45 minutes until I get to the main meeting, and I'll try to do that.
Okay.
I'll have somebody represent somebody from our area represented us. Maybe I'll have a city engineer come to that meeting. We'll move forward, but I'll try to have somebody here.
That's June 18th at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Okay. So I need a motion to approve resolution 36-2025.
I'll make that motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I want to say thanks for adopting the recommendation that I made to have that meeting. The question is, there a public comment following?
It is a workshop, so there will be no public comment unless there's time, you know, time permits after the fact.
Okay, not me.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. I already asked. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, official reports. Legislator Dave Bach, not present.
Did you get a written report from him, Karen?
Nope.
Get the email.
If it did, it came in after 1:00.
Councilperson Phil Sack.
Okay, thank you. I have a few items of interest. I'm working with building codes officer Jim Maxwell on updating our building fees. We've obtained fee schedules from every town surrounding us to try to get a good idea if we're in line. Trenton, Whitestown, New Hartford, Mercy, Kirkland. So Jim's going over to compare it to ours currently. And he will come up with a updated fee schedule for 2025. The Hedgewood Place Stormwater Project. We're still waiting for a quote we need. I've written up most of the grant for the United County Flood Mitigation Program. If we don't get the flood money from the county, we have the option to bond. So I don't know which way it's going to go, but we need one more quote on the excavation, and Sam's hoping to get that very soon so we can move forward with that. And working on a couple codes issues with codes officer Maxwell. Good news today, one of them that's been ongoing for years. We got a hold of the lending institution and they agreed to come in and clean it up. It was foreclosed on in 2019, and thanks to a good resident, it's going to auction July 16th that I didn't know about until this afternoon. So hopefully that one will get cleared up after a long, long time of aggravation. And the second one is coming along nicely. There's a process you have to go through. I'm guessing the Supreme Court might be involved in that one in the end because of the limitation by town judges. But we're moving forward, and the people involved know that it doesn't happen overnight. And fourth, I'm working with NYSERDA and Mohawk Valley Economic Development District. We were awarded $50,000 of rooftop solar for the highway garage, and we're trying to button up the paperwork right now. It will be installed by Solar Liberty. They'll be doing the installation. We have to front $12,500 when they start, $37,500 when they're done. Within 14 days, the state of New York will reimburse us the entire $50,000. And also with that package, we get a spare inverter, which is one of the components that has a history of going bad 8 to 12 years. So Sam will have one for a shelf. But we're hoping to save an estimated around $4,000 a year in electricity. And it's all 100% backed by NYSERDA. So that was a perk we got because we did all the upgrades in town, the street lights, the fans in the highway garage, mini splits and heat pumps. And that's what we got for it, for doing all those cost-saving measures. And lastly, the winter raised havoc in the back of the building. It took two parts of the seniors railing out against the building, and there was a huge protector over the central air unit that broke it right in half and crushed the central air unit. So I'm in the process of getting some bids, and don't know yet until I get the cost whether we will put it through insurance or do it otherwise. That's all I have.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. I did want to mention to Sam before I move on. I did speak with Mr. Wheeler on Doyle Road. He called me about an hour ago.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Wheeler. Wheeler. He mentioned he had a stormwater mitigation issue. I have his address for you. We can talk after the meeting. I told him I'd speak to you when you get in contact with him. Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Working on updating the Horatio Street project on the website, but other than that,
this is
nothing to report.
So. Okay. Thank you. Councilperson Dave Cole.
I was working with Mr. Maxwell on a complaint at 146 Forest Street with abandoned vehicles and trash in the backyard, and he's reached out to let them know, and they got to June 20th before a formal letter or remedy will be sent out. And I also got a phone call from a gentleman who lives across the town park, the baseball field. The backstop has got banners on it. He was wondering if those are just left there because every time he gets up in the morning, he sees banners out there. And I don't know.
I missed, where was it?
Banner,
what field?
The field right
the
here.
The softball field?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I said, I'll let you know.
The softball season is still in swing. Yeah. So
there's,
once that's over,
he's
they'll be taken
just
down.
Left there. I said, well, they're still playing ball, so.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to them, let them know that they'll be removed when the season's over with.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm.
Promptly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All set?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilperson Dan Fusco.
Okay, I've got a few things. I'll try to make it real quick. One is, was already covered. The other thing is, it's been brought to my attention, people are saying, maybe I missed it, but I checked yesterday, that the newsletter posting on the website isn't up to date. I think the last one was spring 2023. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Yeah.
2023?
Yeah. There's no digital newsletters on the website because
newsletters.
We have to get the new libraries. So I've actually asked them. We're working on that now.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about assembling a team? Like in summertime, you might get high school kids that want to come in and help you with that. There's a lot of input that could be put.
It's actually all very quick. It's all very quick, the information that I get.
It's quick?
It's a digital copy, and then you put it in. Like if I get stuff from Karen about updating, like every Tuesday, after our meetings, maybe like 10 minutes to update everything and change it for the next month. It's very quick. I don't see why I need to bother high school kids for that.
What's the issue with the newsletter?
We need new libraries, so that's something that I can't do with the website. That's something the developer has to do.
Quasimodo is in the process of developing those new libraries now.
Oh, I see. So you give them a PDF of it, and they need to store it.
No, they. So when you click on like a banner thing at the top that's like government, that is something I can't create. So a newsletter like that would be like creating a new library. That is not an admin access that I have. The web developer does.
Okay, I understand. Okay, good. I'll let people know when they come. Regarding the junk properties, I did. Mr. Maxwell keeps me informed on that, and it's all in his report. He sent out 8 letters. I'm happy to hear it. Sounds that the one referred to was Prescott Road. That's really good. I get a lot of calls on that still. There was one on Walker Road, just about 1/8 mile south of North Gage, and I drove by there. It was an interesting situation. It looks like a compound, you know. And I suspected, what I suspected is what it was. And I saw the people out, I stopped and I asked them, I said, in Deerfield we have codes against this and you kind of are on a watch list. And they were so grateful. In fact, they were going to try to be here today. I don't see them. They came to the planning board meeting. Beautiful family from Myanmar, and they just want to come up. They just want to grow some vegetables and some flowers. But they did not understand that you can't leave junk laying all over the place. So I mentioned that to him. I mentioned at the town garage that there's dumpsters there and how to utilize that. They're totally excited about that. They asked, do I need a building permit to put up another building? We want to put up a pole. I said, yes, you do. I gave him Mr. Maxwell's information. So it was just an issue of communication. I went by there. Probably half the junk is gone already. So it was a real positive thing. I'm thinking when you have issues, it's always so great if you can talk to the people personally. These people, I'll say, because I don't want to embarrass them, but these people escape genocide from another country. And they come to Deerfield, New York, and they're in heaven. But they may not understand the codes of our society. And that's exactly what this case was. They understand what it's like in the third world. So it was really a positive thing just by talking to them. And it's getting cleaned up, lickety-split, and they'll be putting up a building. And they're great people. And they're so grateful they came to, like I said, the meeting last week. They were going to try to be here today, and they want to meet everybody. So real positive there. Another gentleman contacted me about, in this country we have something called Dark Skies Initiatives. And in another part of the country where I own property and I've been involved in development real estate processes, you're not allowed to just blast light anywhere. Everything has to be downshaded. There's a big initiative in this country called Dark Skies, and it's coming to a town near you. So I got thinking about that, and like with this project, going back to the comprehensive master plan, if we don't have a really good comprehensive master plan, we don't have things like that specified in it, then you can't hold the developer to that, and then you have bright lights shining and lighting up the whole sky. We're all guilty of it. We have lights on our barns and so on. But it's I have a printout that I will give to Karen if anybody wants a copy. I'll find it. But it's a real good thing. So I had made the recommendation that the Comprehensive Master Plan Review Committee be staffed with appointees who have expertise in certain fields, and these are the reasons why. You get somebody in civil planning, you get somebody with real estate, you get somebody with environment, somebody with a law background, municipal law, and you can build a really solid comprehensive master plan that involves all these things. So I want to present this if anybody wants to learn about the Dark Skies Initiative, so when a project like this comes up, we incorporate this. We look at the town garage and maybe downshade the big lights that we have on the side that are awesome. We need them. All it takes is a little shade or a downshade. And it makes a huge, I know, like I said, where I've been involved with some very big real estate development projects, these are all requirements. So why not step up Deerfield, New York, and start paying attention to the same thing? It was brought to my attention the damage at the beautiful patio in the back. And I looked at that, and there was a lot of damage, and it was a shame. But I looked at it, and I'm saying that it could have been avoided by ice breaks on the roof. Very, very simple, and I think we should not just replace the AC unit or the railings until we have ice breaks, because it will happen again, and we don't need the kind of snowfall we have this year for that to happen. You need, it's the down pitch. You can't build anything under a down pitch without ice breaks. The other thing that would be awesome is if we looked into maybe putting gutters along there, because they have that beautiful canopy that they could put out. They could sit out there in the rain. It's awesome what they do there. But maybe gutters on the backside of that building. So if we're going to do that, maybe before we install any new equipment like the AC, we should think about ice breaks on that roof and get that done professionally, and gutters. That's a recommendation.
Sam, that's something you can look into for us? Would you be able to do that?
Yeah, or I can get some questions out there.
If you don't mind, yeah. Okay.
Not for nothing, but our county legislator is a roofing pro. I bounced it off him. He said, yeah, I'll look at that so we can maybe get his opinion ahead at least. So I think it'd be a really good thing because it's such a great asset to this building, but to the town. We just got to do it right so property's not getting destroyed. Once again, comment on the subsidized housing. It is a complex thing. When you start peeling back design, it gets kind of complex. And once again, with a comprehensive master plan committee with expertise in certain areas, we can handle this. We can address it, and we can negotiate this to where it works at 100% to the benefit of the town and not to what it can potentially be if it's not done properly. It could be a disaster. One other thing, it's not, you know, I see a lot of resolutions come for equipment purchases, and I've contemplated this, you know, running budgets myself for many years. I realized our previous town supervisor, was he a controller for a school district? So the school district budgeting is a lot different than a municipal government budgeting. You know, they're in like a use it or lose it environment. So they will replace a vehicle after 3 years. They will have a repurchase schedule for everything, because if they don't, it's not so much about saving money. Because if you keep a building, a truck for another 2 years, that's a perfectly good truck. Even if it depreciates, you still have that truck for two more years. So a municipal government should be maybe a little bit more fiscally responsible and not follow the budgeting process of a school district that has a use it or lose it environment. Instead, we need to be a little bit more fiscally responsible. And once again, maybe the board, you bring this stuff up in front of the intelligent people of the board, and you look at this, and we ask Sam, like, you know what got me thinking about this? Last year I was in a meeting, and you said, I don't know, this truck is personally good. I don't know why I need a new one. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you did say that. And I said, that's a great point. I drive a 10-year-old truck, and I have a real good mechanic. I keep that thing, and every year, it makes me money. You see what I mean? So anyway, just something to look at instead of just following a set pattern that's been on course for many years. That's another recommendation. I'm sorry to be so long, but I get a lot of calls. One other, I got a call, and I'll ask because I'm not totally sure on how to handle this. It's a barking dog complaint, like very, very bad. The lady can't even get contractors to come and do her landscape because they're afraid of the dogs. She just retired. She says, I can't enjoy my own house. I don't want to say where I am or what the location is because there's retribution. It happened years ago with the same people. She's afraid of retribution. So I gave her the name of our dog control officer, but they said they were out previously, and they said there's really nothing we can do. May I ask the board and Mr. Schmidt, what do you tell somebody like this? Is there something they can do so they can use their own home, so they can get a guy to come mold them up? I mean, how do you deal with this?
I don't know. Having worked with the dog control officer, she's the most zealous dog control officer I've the towns I represent, I'm finding it incredulous that she told her she couldn't do something. Our local law, our dog control law, specifically speaks to habitual barking. So it is a violation of our local law.
Okay.
So
that's good to know. Thank you. And I will convey it to her. Any other input on that one?
I can give you a copy of that local law.
Please do, and I'll pass it on to her. Is that on the website? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's my report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Town Clerk Karen Day, and you can do youth as well.
Okay. Not much in the clerk's office, so I'll move right along to the youth program. The youth program starts on July 8th, and it'll run 6 weeks and end August 14th, I believe it is. It's 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 8:30 to 3. In the past, it has grown considerably. We are up to an average of 60 to 70 kids a day. They range anywhere from the age of 4 or 5 years old, 4 years old if they're in a preschool setting, all the way up to 13. We do still have some that will come around and actually help out the counselors. The counselors that we have must be 16 years old. This is, or was, for years, part of the Oneida County training program. This program that we have is as much training students, teens, how to work in a job environment as much as they are supervising children and giving something for children to do. This year we've had a huge turnaround. Most of my experienced counselors have aged out. They've grown up. They got big girls and big boy jobs that work now through the summer. I am left with 3 originals, and all the other ones will be new. We try very hard to keep it so that there is at least one person per 8 to 10 kids, which is similar to what the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and other child active organizations have. I have interviewed them. Some of them are students that are kids, children that came up through the program. They've been there since they were 5 years old, so they have a good idea how it's working. That'll start in July. We're hoping to get a few field trips in, one being through the Oneida County and Cornell University. It's all a grant. They will bus our kids to the Boonville Fair. They're given food tickets and ride tickets, and they pay for the busing as well. And then this year I'm hoping to take a field trip to the brand new Children's Museum on the Parkway in Utica. And if we can afford it, we usually try to go to the Marquee Theater. They offer free summer movies, so the cost to the town would only be the busing. Now, I've spoken to Marianne Buttonshan's staff, and there is a grant that we have taken advantage of in the past. We've benefited greatly from this grant. And I'm not looking for that type, but I am looking to see if we can work something out where the buses and possibly the admission would be covered under this grant. That would allow, busing is so expensive. To go from here to the Marquee Theater in one bus is over $300. And usually the trips to the bigger trip, which would be to the Children's Museum, it's very popular. All the kids want to go. That's usually a 2-bus trip. So last year we went to Howe Caverns. It cost us $800 just to get the kids there and get them back. So that eats up a huge amount of our budget. And I do have to thank the residents in Deerfield because they do donate. We have games, we have arts and crafts, and you know, every year I get a new Monopoly game, I get this, I get that. And arts and crafts, you know, people are always donating them too. So it keeps our budget under control. So, you know, and it's a program I've worked with for over 20 years, and I'm very proud of the program, and it has grown immensely. And we are parents from other towns wish that their towns offered the same similar program. And I hear it all the time. So that's really about it. Once we start, I'll be building a calendar of trips and or this year we will have New York State Police canine unit come in and talk to the kids. And there's some other things that we have already got penciled in. So that's it.
Can I ask you a question, Jim?
Sure.
And I don't know much about this program, but I do think it's great. I've heard a lot of great things about it. How many kids are usually together at one time?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
In an activity.
Well, we might have a counselor that says we're going to play kickball, and there's 15 kids who goes out and play kickball. We have picnic tables under there, so if we're doing arts and crafts, we may have two picnic tables doing this, two picnic tables doing that, maybe.
The reason I ask is, like I said in a previous life, I had co-founded an organization, and we worked with Harvard Medical College on youth sports safety. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the protocol you see now for concussion and heat stroke came out of that meeting. I was one of 23 people there. Mm-hmm. This was many years ago, and that came out of there. Are any of the counselors, is it ever found to be necessary for any of them to have training, like health training, like how to spot heat stroke or heat exhaustion, heat stroke? Do they have AED, CPR training?
They do have CPR training or...
Is that through the county program?
No. Usually through our Deerfield Fire Department.
Great. That's what I was wondering.
Yes. And I do have... It's not set up to be like school. It's not supposed to be something where we're cramming learning down their throats. But I have in the past had speakers come to talk to children about safety. What happens if your friend falls off their bicycle and hits their head? If you are with your friends and a dog is attacking, what do you do? So, I mean, we try and sneak in educational things. It's one of the things the county likes to see. And we do sneak them in without making them feel. I've also had Taekwondo come. And they will give little instructions on bullying and how to avoid stuff like that. I mean, there are educational things as well as the fun.
Okay, thanks. That's great. Fantastic.
You're welcome. Fantastic. That's it.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Thank you. Highway Superintendent
Sam. It is.
Yeah, I got a few things. The millings, I heard you talk about we screened the millings and we had 40 broad acres. That's all done, complete. Screen machine went back. I remember using those, that material throughout the summer. Some of it is piled down at the site of Glass Factory Road. They were going to be paving with. Other materials are piled at the garage. We will be using shoulder backup. It's like a gravel, but it's got asphalt in it. So we'll be using that. I think we saved ourselves a lot of money by doing what I did. And instead of buying just regular pressure run. So we'll be using that over the summer months. Heard we talk about the salt shortage from last year. I don't know, we submitted all the paperwork for a state contract. I don't know, everybody's pretty quiet, tight-lipped right now about what's going on with state contract with salt. The county's looking at doing their own contract. They're working through that process right now, but I'll keep the board updated as that moves forward. I'm guessing within the next month and a half, we're going to hear something for sure. So I'll keep you updated on that. Our new RTV that we ordered is at the highway garage. That showed up about roughly 3 o'clock this afternoon. So if anybody wants to see it's down there, I got to do the connections yet for the groomer. So. Probably won't bring it up here right away, and we got to set up the track system on it. It'll have to be adjusted. So we'll be working on that down there. Did go to the highway school last Monday, Tuesday, and part of Wednesday in Ithaca. I've been going down there for almost my 20th year there. So it's always good. I do have some information I got out of there. Some of it I didn't bring with me. I forgot it at my desk. But if anybody's got any questions, I'm open down there. I did learn on some new updated labor laws that came out in January that I didn't know were out there that we have to follow as far as prevailing wage when we hire somebody. So I'll keep that to date on any of that stuff as that moves forward. Right now, we're working up on Smith Hill Road, our last gravel road. We're ditching up that little seasonal section. We're ditching that, and we'll bring that road up, grade it up, and then that'll be our last gravel road for the year, unless something washes out to be repaired. All our other gravel roads are complete. Trying to get some prices, quotes together for Hedgewood Place on the drainage and paving. Sewer, I got a call from the sewer people. They were doing some manhole inspections and they thought, I got some pictures if anybody wants to see it. Some deteriorated sewers that I'm going to be getting quotes on doing. These are some major repairs that need to be done. So I'll be working on that here, trying to get some guys quotes on it now. And I just got one other thing. I'd just like to address, Dan, what you said. Sounded like you were kind of accusing us of frivolously spending money.
Not at all.
Because that was something we set up years ago. When I started this job, we took over, we had nothing but junk to work with. We were always doing repairs. Once we finally got ourselves out of it, this town board and past town boards that worked well with, we put a program together where a lot of our big equipment gets changed out every 7 years. I don't know if you ever bought a set of tires for a loader, but they're $10,000+. Transmission for a loader is about $27,000 right now. So when you replace them every 7 years, it takes all that out of the equation. And we get the last loader I sold, I paid $187,000 for the new one, and I got $100,000 for the old one. So it offsets that cost really good. And it pays, I think, for us to do that. And the same with my pickup. We decided years ago we were going to do it every 3 years. And the only reason I had said what you brought up about replacing it, we really didn't need one. We could get by with repairs and things, we can get by. But we decided years ago we would replace them every 3 years, the standard warranty. I have sold those trucks in the end and made money on them. So I don't think what you said was really right, saying that we're spending money frivolously on equipment. That's not how it is.
No,
it sounded like you were insinuating.
No, so all I'm saying is if something has been in a holding pattern for a while, it doesn't hurt, once again, for the board to function, to take a look at it. And you run the numbers. So what you said, I trust everything you said, it doesn't hurt to run the numbers. I think two departments of this township that should have the very, very best, the highway department and the town clerk's office. They should have the very, very best and not be sure.
Well, if I misunderstood you, I apologize.
Okay, no need to apologize, but please understand where I'm coming from. Let's not just stay in a holding pattern for 20 years and not look at it. Let's look at it. Let's look at everything.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your honesty.
Yep. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Yep. Buildings and codes, Mr. Maxwell left a report for review. Assessor George Haskell is not present today. Planning Board, Patty?
Yes. So we had our meeting on Wednesday last week. Councilman Ventress was there. We had a discussion prior to, and then he gave a presentation for the privilege of the floor. Also, at the beginning of the meeting, actually before the meeting even started, I was approached by a couple. Her name was Karen Kerr. And they own a corporation, Royal NB, from New Hyde Park. They own property on Harris Road, and she was curious about the subdivision process. They own about 70 acres, and of course, now at this point, that was acres that was under lease for the solar project, and now that the solar project has gone away, they're looking to subdivide the property, basically to refinance. They don't have any intentions, as far as I can tell right now, of selling lots or anything. Basically, what they want to do is be able to subdivide a parcel with the buildings that are existing there in order to refinance and get a better interest rate. And unfortunately, of course, a bank won't touch a mortgage with a lot of acreage. So they would still it's my understanding at this point they would still own both parcels, but it would help them to separate the buildings and the home from the main part of the land. So that happened early on in the meeting. Then as far as Pathstone, Becky Mayer was here. She is the civil engineer for SWDR. She talked about the stormwater detention pond that they're planning for the area. We had a preliminary drawing of that. We had some questions from board members. And then she also had a meeting late earlier that day with the Deerfield Fire Department. And I have in your package notes from her meeting. So she thought that they made a lot of progress with the fire department. The fire department seemed positive about everything. They didn't have any big concerns. So that was a step in the right direction. Jason Sackett was here. He and I spoke briefly about the access road agreement, an easement agreement. And again, there's a draft copy in your package of that. Bill has a copy to review. And that was pretty much everything with the Pathstone project at that meeting. Gentleman after that, named Chad Angus, he's from Beaton Drive. He approached me about another subdivision. He has access on the Beaton Drive. It's 60 feet, so it would meet the standard for a town road. I think he was going to try to reach out to you, Sam.
He's been talking about that for a few years.
Yeah.
And he hasn't moved forward much with it.
Yeah, he's also looking at potentially buying a property that would be basically north of the property in the back of Beaton Drive. It would be off of Cosby Manor Road, and I cautioned him that he needed to talk to the county as far as any curb cuts there. And it also goes under the power line. The property has part of the easement for the power line, and I told him, you know, you better study, you know, contact whichever power company owns that line and straighten out that easement, because he talked about putting a road, if you bought that property, connecting it to Cosby Manor and having, you know, a connection between Beaton up around and the Cosby. But whether anything comes of it or not, you know, I think he's got a lot more work to do on his end before he can really come to us with any plans. So, and that's about it.
Okay.
Did I get one of these packets?
No, I didn't do it. I only did it for the council people. I'm sorry. I'll make you one.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Patty.
So you didn't get one either, if that makes you feel any better.
ZBA and seniors, Laura.
We had one ZBA so far this year, and it was a very simple case, so that is settled. I have had a couple phone calls about a couple more that might be coming up, and it involves selling one place and buying another. Just checking to see what is allowed in that new district they would be in. And that's about it, except I'll make a comment about Mr. Maxwell's. He said he contacted the treehouse people, and when I came up the road Thursday to go to seniors, I saw the people getting out and walking across the road. I had to stop them, of course. And on my way home, I noticed this treehouse was down, so he's getting things going. Yeah. You want me to do seniors now?
Please.
Yeah.
Now, where did they put the treehouse? Did they relocate
it? I was with the seniors at the time. They didn't, and it looked like the bags of garbage were also picked up.
Oh, great.
So, the seniors have been meeting, and when we had our AARP class, we were so happy that we had the big screen that we borrowed. It was between the seniors and the youth program that we got through a grant. And when you have 16 to 20 people in a room where you have to face a TV, this size TV does not help. You need that very big screen. So that was very convenient. And we're having our installation luncheon this Thursday at Hartsville. So, and then we will be getting back to normal things, I think. Some trips will be coming up, and we'll go from there.
All right, great. Thank you. Town historian is not present. Parks Committee, Debbie Burke.
Hello. So I'm still working with Bob and Sean's office regarding the racing front and the one on Highview. I also saw a, there's a grant through Hochul's office that we're going to look into as well. This afternoon when I drove by Brazy Park, there's a bunch of people on the courts, and so I just talked to Sam about getting an estimate of what it would cost to resurface those courts. I know we did look at the flex floor like they have at Marcy, but I've talked to so many people that hate those floors. There's a guy that I know lives probably a mile from the Marcy courts. He plays pickleball all the time, and he drives to New Hartford because they don't like that surface. So I asked Sam to look at the replacement of the KM and probably have to replace some of the fencing as well, some of it's rusted. But so that's how that. From on a side note, from the Mohawk Valley Water Authority Board that I attend for the town, one thing that you might want to put in the newsletter, well, I guess to divert from the parks a little bit.
Yeah.
We could put the thing about the parks and dogs in the newsletter because there's quite a few that dog sits there in the driveway right next to the owner's parking for hours, and they're just immune to the dog, and we have to listen to it all night long. The other thing is the Mohawk Valley Water Authority, if anybody got the letter about your copper pipe, if you have copper pipe for your water coming into the house and you take a picture of it and send it to the Water Authority, they'll send you $25. They're trying to identify all the copper pipe, well, they have to by law. So I looked online at the Water Authority has a map that shows where they believe the old iron pipe is and the copper pipe. And some people on my street had it and some didn't, so I asked them on a side note, you know, after the meeting. And they said that that was kind of a guesstimate based on the age of the infrastructure there. And then that's when he brought up, if you got the letter and have copper at your house, take a picture, send it to them. They can verify it that way instead of going, what they have to do is go neighborhood to neighborhood and do a test where they drill down to see if there's iron or copper there. So.
Okay, great.
So it's something like I could get a clearer description of that, and we could put that in the newsletter too.
Yeah, please do, and I'll make sure I get a little snippet in there about the barking dogs and the law, the town law. All set? All right, thank you. We'll go on to town attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
All set. Thank you, Mr. Supervisor.
Okay. No media time. We have late privilege of the floor. Anyone for late privilege? Yes, Mary.
Sam, I left you a bunch of stuff by the rock.
I saw it there. Yeah, I'll get it fixed up. Yeah.
Okay. And I did a little bit down below by the sign.
Appreciate you doing that.
Okay. And I did a little bit. I had to finish the sign, and I'll turn around and undo that roadway blue. What are they doing with the ditches on Cosby Manor? I mean, they put the yellow little flags up for the gas line.
I'm hearing two different. I know. Cosby Manor was going to be a pretty good sized project this year for the county,
yes.
And that got put off till next year now. They were still going to do some ditch work on the southern side of the road, I guess it would be. I don't know when that's going to take place. They were going to flush some culverts, replace some culverts, things like that.
Okay.
It might be like a preemptive to the big project for next year.
They haven't done anything.
Yeah, well, it may be planned for the year. With the rain the way it's been, nobody's really got started on a lot of projects yet.
Colors are bad, and if it's by spanos, it's real bad. You go down to the next one down, you can put your hand right through the sides. I mean, the cement is dead, deteriorated.
You mean, what are you talking about?
When it goes across the street, it goes from.
I see what you mean.
That one there, it's
the head walls.
It's eroded terribly.
The stuff's getting pretty old now, also.
One more thing, the speed limit sign. Who decided where they went? It was booked. Did you see the one with the solar that's on Cosby Manor?
I think they, last month, did we talk about they were going to do that?
Yeah, it's down by Benoit's. It's right down by Benoit's.
Yeah, well, it's right on the corner of Peace and Calvin Manor.
Okay.
It's really not.
There were supposed to be two.
There's not two, there's one.
Well, they were broke for months.
Yes.
And
I was wondering if they ever going to get one fixed. So I put it in my driveway.
Could you call the county? Would you be able to do that?
I can call the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they,
or we can reach out
to
the
state. I know they said they're going to do two, but they only put one up.
Okay.
So far.
I realize why it's in that one spot, but you have that.
No, I know. It's
that's a very straight.
Right.
That's where
Good News Foundation going this way is worse than. You know, but you
get
Howard that complains about it going the other way, so he's...
Yes, Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are you looking exactly to put that one of those?
Is there Good News Foundation.
Right.
We've had three fatalities in that area. I've had two fatalities in my front of my house.
Okay.
So it's not a good area.
All right.
And they,
so we can work
the
on
it. Good News Foundation, they hit it there, and they turn around and speed, and then it throws into a curb, so... The state police, the sheriff said that, you know, I've given them written notice and permission to park and do tickets, and I've gotten nowhere.
Okay, we'll reach out and we'll get back to you.
Okay, I've talked to him. He's very good. He's at a school meeting as soon as I went to the town to talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else for late privilege? Hold on. He got his hand up right before you. We'll grab it. Can you state your name, please?
Was dirt bikes on Cosmetto.
What's that?
Dirt bikes and four-wheelers ripping
yeah.
down Cosmetto all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Right down the middle of the road.
Today.
That's going to be an issue, something that's wiped out by a truck or something.
They're all through the town. I mean, unfortunately, when we call the sheriff's department,
they
come up from Deerwood. They park. We had the police talk to the people. They've been parking in the top of Deerwood and up that way, and they go right up through. So
yeah, can
you?
Can
you guys have the same problems we got?
We get. I think I put it in the newsletter. We get the same issues every year. There's. It's all over Ravine Drive and.
Yeah.
By the time the sheriffs get there, they're gone or they cut off in the trails. I mean, we can speak together as a board and see if there's any, we have any options, other options. I'm not quite sure.
But the only thing you can really do is ask them to increase their patrol.
Every year we ask them to, yeah,
we
do that.
I even asked them to turn around and take a patrol car and park it in my thing. I put a dummy in there.
Well, there. The motion sensor camera on it.
But in Albany, they do have a camera on those signs, and they turned around and they collected a couple $1 million with all the tickets.
Yeah, the photo speed tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll reach out to the sheriff's department and find out if they have anything that we can use or they can set up.
That runs a regular speed right now.
Yeah.
I live by the corner of Hedgewood and Cosmetto. By the time you get to my house, they're already doing 45-50.
I followed them up right up North Genesee Street all the way up Walker Road one day. I mean,
I see a light going by. I have no idea what it is. I mean, that's how fast they're going.
I'll reach out to the sheriff's department and let your concern, make sure your concern's noted. And see if they can get more patrol down there, if they can put up a camera with, you know, with the signs, if there's anything we can do extra. But. Anyone else? Like, oh, yes.
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 I wanted to thank the highway department for fixing the drain outside of Ramble Woods. Everyone's thrilled.
We didn't do it. I just passed it on to the county, and they got
well,
right
it
on.
Finally got done.
There is the most.
Thank you for passing it. And also a follow-up. So people are coming to the meetings and they're trying to understand about this project. Is there somewhere, maybe I'm not aware of that, when people come to the meetings and they ask questions, who's writing it down and where do we get the responses to it? It feels like we're asking good questions and then it just goes into the air and then we don't, like, I'm not sure. Is it archived somewhere that I'm not aware of?
No, it'll be in the meeting minutes, and
the
answers.
It's not that you, how can you come up with the answer? I'm saying if someone's asking a question, who's following up, not the developers, like either if it's like the electrical grid, who's following up on it and where do you get that information?
Most of the questions I put out, Pathstone right now, I'm waiting for that response back. As soon as I get that, it'll go up on the website. Patty's, anything from the planning board, documentation or anything, we'll make sure it goes up on the website.
And is someone checking that? It's just what they're saying, or is someone else, like National Grid, backing up what they're saying? Like, how do you, I don't understand how that all works.
In terms of?
Well, Pathstone's going to give you their interpretation of it, but obviously someone else, like 911 or whatever you call it, NIRE, might have a different answer.
Okay, well,
you're getting the accurate information, and Daphne said, oh, we're having great questions. We are, but I won't ever hear any answers or follow-ups to them.
Yeah.
Are they being archived?
No, they're coming. Yes, they're coming. The information that we have right now is what you guys have right now. As soon as we get more information, we'll make sure that...
People ask me questions,
I understand.
And I have no answers. I said I look
for... Have them call us. Point them to the town board. Any of the town board members can respond. It'd be better for us to respond, you know, if we hear something. But again, as soon as we hear something, we'll get it up on the website.
Could I have your name, please?
Valerie Lutz, L-U-T-Z.
Thanks.
And I'll take note of that. Any questions that would be, you know, a third party would be involved with, I'll make sure to look out and get it and get in contact with. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Answers.
Yep.
One question. This meeting on the 18th.
Yes, sir.
People are going to be able to speak at that.
Right now, it's scheduled as a workshop. We have a lot to discuss with the town board and the planning board.
So nobody talks at it.
Well, if we have time, if time permits, we'll look into entertaining questions.
Okay.
So when do we have, right? Have we had that yet?
A chance for, well, we had one meeting with the planning board and with the town board where questions were asked. We had Pathstone here.
Actually, there, probably two with the planning board because the May meeting, we went over the material we needed to do and there was a pretty good turnout as far as audience. And so in the end, we did have time to entertain questions.
Is that more regular for people who couldn't speak?
Yes. They also had, we had two meetings in May, so.
So going forward, we're not going to do that though, right? If people can speak, it don't matter where you're from, right?
Well, in the process as far as site plan review, typically what we do,
First of all, nobody speaks, or everybody speaks.
Well, let's let Patty clarify, please.
In the site plan review process, first of all, we're limited to questions just regarding basically the nuts and bolts of the project. You know, we're not going to get off into the weeds as far as, you know, is it low-income housing? Is it workforce housing?
Right.
That's not the planning board's purpose.
Right.
So, and like I said, in the first May meeting, we had a lot of questions. We feel that we took them all. We really didn't even get to look at our conceptual plan because we spent time answering questions.
Which is why you held the workshop.
That's why we had the second May meeting. And that's when we became aware that there was concerns from the people from Utica. But again, they're not Deerfield residents. So I had asked at the beginning of the meeting that if you were from Utica, you need to reach out to your representatives in Utica. So that they can come back to us, because in the site plan process, further down through the procedure,
we're going to reach out to
bordering communities, Marcy, Utica.
The only problem I have with that, and I don't know why I'm going to end this, but the only problem I have with that is the people in Utica are closer to the project than the people that live in Deerfield. So to me, if you eliminate any of the problem, I think you would better off having nobody come. To have somebody say, you don't live in Deerfield and you can't talk, but this lady lives from here to where from the project, to me, I just think you're better off. And I think that was, I don't think that was supposed to happen. And I don't think in the future it's going to, so we're
they
good.
They were told they could talk. That's why they came.
Okay. Well, I don't want to, but I'm just, you understand my point that I'm saying?
Can I ask who
And, you know...
Again, I don't know who told people to do it. At this meeting, because there were people, I've gone to both of the meetings, and the people at this meeting, and then I went to the meeting, and one happens to be a relative, and there was a lot of people from Utica, because they came from this meeting, and they were invited and told they could go to that meeting. And then you said, oh, you can't talk, and they were like, oh, we were told we could come.
Certainly, anybody's welcome to attend any meeting at any time, but it's whether or not...
I'm just saying that for you, I don't remember if you were at the meeting before. I'm just saying that's what they were told.
Yes, I wasn't.
It sounds like there was a new process, misinterpretation. We'll go forward, we'll be fine, so don't worry about it. We'll go.
I'm just saying.
All set?
One more.
Sir? Can you just state your name, please, so we can get it for...
Yeah, my name is Richard Gassner.
Okay.
And here, there's different things you have to do to get this project approved. Is that written down anywhere, like when you send out notices to the different towns, or... Is this written down somewhere?
Article 16 of the Deerfield Zoning Law and SECA regulations require public hearings. They require notifying all interested agencies, which would include the city of Utica and other towns. Yes, there are rules.
You guys all know that, but is it written down where you list what is going on and where we are in that process, what the whole process is?
Yes, section 16. No, he's saying...
I think
Laura may have an answer.
We're at the process, not what the process is, but where we're at.
Is there any updates on the website or anything?
Laura, go ahead. Yeah.
And at the working session that the planning board held, I was very pleased to see that she had a copy to give out to the people there that goes through the steps of any development that is being proposed. And it was under Plan Development Extraordinaire, which that area is involved.
And it
showed the things. And I noticed that a lot of people thought we were right to the end or that it had already been approved.
Right.
And we haven't even, from what I understand, the company has not even submitted their official application for this. They're still in this planning stage.
So if it helps, we can try to put together a timeline.
Yeah,
we'll get that down with the information as well. So yeah.
And who's approving it?
But you got two places that you're two different companies doing two different projects, correct?
Well, right. The developer is Arson. Pathstone.
Arson.
No. Arson. Pathstone and Arson are together on the big one.
Right.
The one at the bottom is Arson. The Arson developer, yes.
So you got two different developers.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
So can I just...
Right now, we're just at the top, the top part of the project.
Just want to clarify more. He got the law. He read it. He wants to know where we are at in...
Right, and that's why I just said we'll put together...
I'm just trying to clarify with her. It's not because she's saying, well, the law was there. We've read it. We want to know where we're at.
Sure.
Yes. Can I think that came out?
Yes. Okay. So basically, we went through a conceptual stage. We're in a preliminary stage, but we're waiting. They've had talks with the fire department. They're working on the easement agreement for the road, for the access road. So we're still in the preliminary stage. We have not taken on lead agency yet. So basically, we're deeming the application incomplete until we get clarification on the access road, some more information from the fire department, and a few other small things. Once we deem that application complete, then we start the review process. We start doing the SECA process. So until we accept it as complete.
It would be good to have that in your meeting minutes, because the meeting minutes, as Castell was here, we talked to them. A little more description of what you just said would be helpful.
Yeah, if you guys talk to the fire department, I thought it was a three-story building, and Deerfield only has a two-story ladder, so they can talk to them all they want, like, where's the fire truck coming from?
Here is a copy of, Becky Meyer, she was here this month, And prior to the meeting with our board, she went to give to the fire department. I'll give you my copy.
And this will all go up on the website.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's just preliminary list of discussions. Mutual, Fairfield feels confident that mutual aid will cover, either Marcy or Utica will cover, should they have a need for an aerial response.
And this is all just related to this one on the far end, right?
Correct.
Not the bigger project.
The yes. Portion right next to Mulaney Road.
The bigger project here hasn't started anything.
Nowhere near.
This site plan only involves the project, the apartment project, at the north end of the property adjacent to Mulaney Road.
Yes, 65. Yeah, right.
Yes, we'll let this gentleman finish. Yes, sir.
Does the county have a town comprehensive plan?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Now, does that involve this project? And do we have it to address like a greenfield type thing versus a brownfield? Like this project's a brownfield versus usually done in a more urban setting.
I'm not understanding the definition of a brownfield.
Usually a brownfield.
Well,
I don't know, Dan sent out a video or a letter, and I was reading through it, developing a different thing.
A brownfield doesn't have residential.
Right.
A brownfield is typically a contaminated type.
Well, but it can be used.
Dan, did you send that letter out to the town board? I'd like to know, because I didn't see it.
It's a vacant property.
Because it's a vacant property. Because it isn't. Yeah, brownfield is where you redevelop from. I'm new at this, too.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand it all.
Yeah, so this is basically just a, like I said, an undeveloped property, so it's his. You know, it's classified as commercial, but if we wanted to go with its use,
the reason I do is because when you develop a greenfield, what they're doing, there's all kinds of infrastructure that you got to take into consideration. But I know you guys are doing it. And I just want to know, is that written down, or like, have you got to get a police report to figure out whether you're going to need a police department, or is you going to, I know there's a school thing, but they already sent a letter out and figured out how many kids there are.
Okay, so the survey for the impact on the school district, that applies only to the basketball project, as far as I know. The development group that owns the property south of Bank of America, they're looking at all different options, but they will have to do, you know, traffic studies, and they're deep into the traffic study. I think they are working with the Army Corps of Engineers right now. They've also obviously been contacted with DEC. So they're doing a lot of, they have SHPO involved, which is a historical archaeological significance.
Well, I'm more interested in the upper one because I think it would be better suited if somehow we could figure out a way to do a senior type project. I know this was brought up before.
That
should be in our town plan.
It is.
Is it on the website?
The comprehensive plan?
Yeah. It's on the website, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go check it out.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ken, right before the gentleman behind you had his hand up. Yes, sir.
I guess I have a couple of questions.
Just your name, please.
My son.
Okay.
When does it come to the people of the town to say whether we want this project or not? At what point?
It would be.
And if the people don't want it, how do you kibosh it now? If you don't want, whether you call it workforce or low-income housing, how do you say, okay, you know what, pay us no big fee, we're not doing it? How do you do that?
Bill, do you have the exact, so I don't misspeak, that, you know, the exact process there through the public hearings? And
I guess I don't understand the question. You've elected a town board. The town board has appointed a planning board. You've passed by way of local law, rules that they're supposed to follow, and that's what your elected officials are supposed to do.
But I also believe the elected officials are supposed to talk to the residents of the town and see what they want before they make a decision.
And those regulations include multiple public hearings, at which time the public comment is solicited and taken into consideration. Absolutely.
Okay, I asked the same question at the planning board meeting that I went to, and the answer I was given is, we're not there yet. I'm asking, when does it come to the part where the residents say, we don't want this, put a kibosh with, if they don't want it?
Right now, it's in the conceptual phase, okay? The studies that Patty's talking about, those haven't been formally submitted. The town's experts haven't begun to review those, to respond, to make sure that we're not taking their side and only their side. That comes down the road. And the 18th, there's a joint meeting for conceptual. What are they doing? It's not to go through the T's, cross the T's or dot the I's. That will come.
When? That's all I mean about when.
Bill, let me make a questionary comment on that. This land is privately owned land, and you have a developer that comes in. There's a process that the law that we must follow to go through that process. We have to entertain that proposal and that process. However, the town needs to be very strong and know what they're willing to give variances on, what they are willing to approve, right? Is this against our comprehensive master plan? Is it against our zoning and our codes? And what are we willing to give variances on? Now, the question, I think, and this might be for Mr. Schmidt, is how much weight in that process, how much weight does the constituents' voice of yay or nay carry in that final decision? If say they pass every other criteria, dot every I and cross every T, and then everybody's saying no, how much weight does that vote of no carry in the process of following law, you know, to entertain this proposal? Is there a question? To me, I would say 100% of the weight, but it doesn't.
No,
go
there. The law is very clear.
What's the law?
Public opposition alone it cannot be the reason you deny something. But there are so many steps to this process, so many things that they have to address. Right. Okay. Frankly, my opinion, we're all getting way ahead of ourselves. Yeah. This is a big project. There's a lot of information yet to be cultivated, and nobody should be running around making decisions, yay, nay, or whatever, until we've heard everything.
Yes, that's the process, that's where we're at. And I think like what Mr. Gassner said, if people knew what the timeline was, then I think that would be very, very helpful and would control a lot of angst and anxiety over this. But it is a process that the town has to follow, you know?
And I understand that, and I'm not asking for, okay, we're gonna ask the town members on January 3rd what their opinion is. I'm just wondering, where can I find the steps? Okay, this is conceptual planning. Well, what's the next step when the residents, at what point do the residents get to come and voice their opinion to you guys that make the ultimate decision?
Right now we're in the conceptual phase,
right.
Okay? Conceptual phase, there is no requirement in the zoning law that there be any public meetings. They've already had three, and they're going to have another one on the 18th. After the conceptual phase is done, and once the planning board determines that the application is complete, and there are criteria in our zoning law that spells out what the application must, then they go into the preliminary. And the preliminary, town's code says that the planning board may, trust me, they will have a public hearing. And they will at that meeting report, here's where we have concerns or here's where we don't have concerns. Right now they can't say that. We don't have all of the reports. I'm not even sure, and I got a copy of the easement agreement this morning as to exactly what we're doing in terms of accessing the site. So we're way ahead of ourselves. Okay, and there will be, and I know this has been challenged, but there will be notices. It'll be in our newsletter or in our website. It'll be in the paper. That's required by our zoning law.
The Rural Sentinel? Is it the Rural Sentinel?
I
yes.
It is, yes.
You can't put it on the website?
We can, yeah. Yeah, it'll be on the website. It's required by law we put it in the Rome Center, but it'll be on the website.
The meeting that was like 2 years ago, or it was mentioned in my committee.
The Pascal project?
In 23, right? Yeah, well, when you first, I thought it was put in the paper a long time.
I've been here, not that I've been, no. The development of this site as a whole, but the Pathstone, the workforce housing, I'll say it's relatively new. When I say that, within the last 6 or 8 months, that we've heard on that.
Yes.
There's a lot of steps to go. I appreciate your concern and angst.
Yeah, but I feel like you're trying, like you're diminishing the questions our people are asking and almost like scolding us like children.
No.
We have questions, we don't understand how it all works, and we're asking questions, and you're just telling us, like, calm down, and that's like
No. For example, you asked about fire protection, okay? We don't have a report yet about fire protection.
No, but what we know is it's a three-story building, and I know because the head of the fire department lives in my neighborhood, they don't have a ladder tall enough for that. So I do know what I'm addressing. I'm asking specifically because it was brought up at a picnic, so I just...
And I don't know how the planning board is going to address that. I'm not trying to put you off. I'm saying that there's an answer.
Like,
well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, it sounds like that.
Okay.
And we're gaslighting.
There's no gaslighting going on. Yes, Mr. Rozier, go ahead. Mr. Rozier, you'd like to speak? Yes.
I think I'd like to say two things. I didn't expect the first one, but I'll say it anyway. With respect to this gentleman behind me's question, and I'm sorry to call you a gentleman, but I didn't have I think a more proper answer to when people get a chance to give you their idea in terms of the process, if I understand Bill correctly, and please don't take this wrong, I'm looking at it purely from a...
I've already been called a gas.
I've been called worse. But what I was going to do is really simplify the answer by saying to him that the constituents, in the most direct way, do not have a voice in this process. Let that be known to everybody here. From the sense of you standing up and saying, I don't want it, it won't go, means nothing. And it can't carry anything.
Yeah,
we have five people that we have entrusted your vote to, and those are the people that you're putting in charge. Those people have entrusted their faith in the planning board to pay. And so the fact of the matter is, the truth is to your answer, and then I want to move on to what I really wanted to say, is that in the purest sense, the individuals at this point have very little to say other than to voice your opinion, like you're doing now. These people have the decision. You know that, Bill. We, in a purest sense, have no decision. It's their decision based on what they think we want. That's the truth of where this is.
And the law does not permit like a decision like this to be put on the ballot.
Right, exactly. And so here's why my first question. When I first started coming to these meetings, especially when I was Deerfield chairman, I brought up something a couple of years ago. To this day, still isn't done. And yet I'm watching the same kinds of meetings, the same people throwing all kinds of questions out that never seem to get answered.
Never.
You've been to the same meetings and you still have the same questions. We still have the same concerns with our website that stuff isn't up to date.
2 years.
I'm looking at something as someone who's both in this business, but as the chairman of the former chairman of the Deerfield Republican Committee and now chairman of the United County Republican Committee. I'm going to submit that I suggested to this board 2 years ago, and I would ask respectfully tonight to consider it in your next meeting, that there are people who are professionals that will come in to this meeting and to your planning board meeting, Patty, and they will, for no charge to this town, record and archive those meetings so that you, Daphne, can have them put on our website every time there's a meeting. And instead of me coming and having 46,000 questions that there's never good answers to, I can go back to the meeting and see exactly what was said, how it was said, who I'm supposed to talk to. And you might even, at the end of the archived video, have a little something that says, do you have a question that will be submitted to somebody on this board? That would be the way to start communicating to the Deerfield residents, so that if you can't make it to this meeting, you can know that you can go online and see the same meeting, either zoomed into, and if you don't want to go through the Zoom, which I brought up before, fine. At least archive it. At least make it accessible to the public. It's something I brought up before, and I'm going to ask respectfully again, before I think it becomes a much bigger, a much different issue. Please consider, especially if I can send you people that will do their service for you for free, so you don't even have the, we don't have a budget excuse. And if you have the ability to work within your website, whether you have administrative privileges or not, you can set up something with your vendor that will either allow you to go into the back end and do it, or set up something semi-regular that says we have a meeting on the 25th, we'll be sending it to you on the 26th. Please have it up on the website that day. So that the website can continue when people go there and on your Facebook account to say, you missed the meeting last night, go to the website and watch the whole thing. If you have any questions, put a question down. Someone will get back to you. That's the way an effective town effectively communicates. And even if you don't have a voice, because we have five people that will vote for us, you have the ability to A, get up to speed on the issue. To not guess or hear it third hand, you hear it from the people who are telling you. The experts who come and tell us that's not subsidized housing. All right? You have the ability to sit down and write notes and think about what you heard before you come back and maybe, she knows I love her to death, before you tell someone he gaslighted. All I'm saying, she'll hit me later, don't worry about it. But the point, what I'm trying to get across is that communication is always better. And there's no reason in the world that we shouldn't be communicating that way, especially in this generation. And when you have the tools to do it, a brand new website we paid thousands of dollars for, that is behind, which never should be behind. That's almost insulting to anybody who's in this business that knows how easy it is to keep it up in 10 minutes. It is. It should never be behind. We should be able to archive these meetings, this meeting, her planning meeting, and every meeting thereafter, and have it put into the website, and people can routinely know that if I can't make it to the thing tonight, which I almost couldn't, that tomorrow night I can go watch it at home, and if I have any questions, I
sure.
can
sure.
Is that something we think we might be able to bring up?
Yeah,
we'll
reconsider that for sure. We'll reconsider.
Good.
To add to that, I've been going to planning boards, zoning board, town board meetings for 20 years for my business, and almost every single one of them, their meetings are live. There's even some of them when I was presenting, they allowed me to present from home instead of driving 3 hours. So we are behind the times as far as communication out to the public for meetings. Because a lot of people with kids can't come to these meetings. It's bedtime, but they could listen while they're getting kids ready or doing dinner or things like that. And
let me address the board to this effect. If you guys recall, early on, I think when I first came on board, I had tried to contact Quadzemia. You know, I've had websites since 1991, I think, was my first one.
That's good.
And I'm very familiar with how they work. I'm not up to date with the technology. The website we have is very powerful, and it can do a lot of things.
It is, yeah.
But then you assign a singular point person, and I was kind of shut out of that process. And then today, and that's fine. You have the right to make the decision. I honor it and respect it. Today, I suggest that maybe we need a team. This is what Mr. Rozier is saying. He can provide a team of experts to come in and look at our website and do all this. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Burke is correct. I can't tell you what I do online these days. We just educated our whole nation's children online for what, 2 years, year and a half?
But
this
is
I entertain this. I suggest we entertain
this. I'm not looking to get into Cloudsimia's sandbox, especially because we're in the same business. All I'm saying is you have expertise here in this room that can help you have the town develop its capabilities.
Yes.
I respect your opinion. We will entertain that.
Appreciate
I'll make sure of it.
I'll be quiet, Laura.
Yeah, my name is Roman Vojtovich. I just want to appreciate you for bringing up some issues and being very transparent. We did an email on Facebook. I mean, these are your colleagues. That's some disrespect to you, I guess, until you get to work together. But another thing I want to bring up is for this project Pat Stone brought up, the housing project, the taxes, how much they're paying, they're going to pay about $63,000 or $65,000 per year. Who re-evaluate how much tax? Is there our tax assessor, you that will price someone in a day, or their developer?
They provide.
It's provided by the developer.
They contracted an independent company.
company to do the evaluation.
We had to reevaluate it. I feel like it's pretty low. It's
eventually, right under, yeah, we'll go to the assessors to be our own assessors.
Yeah, it's right under about $1,000 per unit, plus we got the daycare, which they're not being paying taxes, and daycare they usually get state funding. So I feel like they should pay more in taxes if we had to go through.
It's a good point that you have to look at, because there's been a couple lawsuits, I think Washington State and California, where they look at this. And you look at the value of the property based on what it costs to build, but they don't give value to the tax credits that they receive. And the lawsuit was predicated on, no, the value was the market value, and you have to include the tax credits. So that's something that a municipality has to deal with. It's not just what it costs to build, but then you have to give value to those tax credits. But if they get whatever percentage of tax credits, say you build something for $100, but you got $30 of tax credits, that's you still get taxed on a value of $100, not $70. And that's what these lawsuits are predicated on. And courts ruled in favor of the municipalities. So that's, as has been well explained here, this is the process, and we are early on in the process, but these are all things we need to look at. And the Comprehensive Master Plan Review Committee, if that was staffed with expert people, we would have the availability of them to look at these things. It gets very complex, but that's an excellent point. And it's already, there's already been a precedent set for that.
Because these numbers don't add up. It's actually really expensive. Was it $33 million for this project, which is kind of too much? We're going to pay only $63,000 in taxes. It doesn't add up.
Yeah. And if they figure it, they're not going to give any weight to the tax credits.
Yeah.
They're going to just look at cost of construction.
I mean, if it was a private developer putting apartments, their tax would double. Easily, but because we're funded, we pay almost nothing.
Do you have comparables to back that statement up? Just so if you could get them to me, I'd love. If you could, I'd love to get that. Thank you.
If I could, I know early on in the project we asked, because being a not-for-profit, we were concerned as if they would not pay taxes, and they pay. They will be assessed, but they use a different formula, and I cannot give you the formula right off the top of my head.
Their formula or different?
It's a state formula. It's a state formula. It's five something something. And it's.
The assessor doesn't have a lot of discretion.
Yeah. So that would be why you're seeing a discrepancy in the numbers that you're doing. You may be using standard, but it's standard tax. Assessed. Yeah. So this would be different. It's not totally a not-for-profit. They do pay taxes, but
they
use a state code that's not.
And by the same token, that different projects then have knee-jerk reactions to different services going forward. Some projects will need more police protection than others.
Right.
Some projects will need greater infrastructure with sewer and water than others. When you look at a project like this, it's not just about how much taxes you're getting. It's also about the net effect to your infrastructure, your services that are going to be an add-on also. So again, you have to look at this from the 30,000 foot view, not just project by project.
The
impact in the school can ultimately come down to us in school tax returns.
Yeah, 100%. Our taxes will go up.
Precisely. I mean, so.
Even if they get to hire one teacher, what teacher works for $65,000 a year? And then the assessor gives us the share with us. They have a couple of projects around that.
Yes.
$1,200 phone calls for different reasons. And they had all that stuff at that meeting, but they weren't allowed to talk. She had actual, so the numbers and places and comparables.
So again, that's something that we don't look at. It will be addressed in a public hearing, public comment. But again, that's nothing that falls under our jurisdiction.
Oh, Summers and Police, though, I was just.
So, as secondly. Yeah, we don't have any of those things in the law. Coverage falls through sheriff.
This was the sheriff. So, this was the county sheriff.
Yeah, so yes,
patrol members.
It's not something that
we're going to keep moving on with the meeting here, okay?
Is there anyone else late privilege of the floor at this point?
I have a quick one.
Yes, sir.
My initiative doesn't seem as big as all these other ones, but I appreciate Mr. Musso working on that Dark Skies initiative. I brought it up as well to him. So there is, I don't know if a lot of people know, but there's going to be a New York State law passed, your Dark Skies Protection Act. It's not just for use since late, but and I appreciate you trying to tie it to that because it'll probably get more attention. But it could happen to anybody, you know. I'm currently wrestling with some light pollution. I don't really enjoy my backyard yet. It's been going on for a while, but I kind of gave up. You guys did help a little bit with one neighbor, but there's another one that has a big tall light pole that's brighter than a street light. You know, street lights have changed to the point where they're pointing down and not out. This one's a you know, big ball. So it's not just the brightness, it's the fact that you can see the light source. Then there's all the environmental factors that some people hear about, some don't. Migratory birds, even a simple lightning bug. Sits in the dark grass, the male can't find it. There's a lot of stuff
like that. So we, you know, we can get the information from Councilman Busco, and also when he brought the Councilman Busco brought up that point, in the packet that we prepared for the town board, when we transitioned from strictly commercial to PDE, we gave a list of recommendations, and in that list of recommendations, we talk about light shading, and we talk about, you know, giving the planning board the latitude to manage those types of situations,
right,
to, you know, not intrude
yeah.
on.
It's really big on residential,
you know, yeah.
but on commercial, it's more explicit.
Yeah,
but
and because this is
a
mixed use, we have the potential for that because of the commercial being at the front side of the
right.
of the proposed project south of Bank of America, and then
right.
you know residential uses behind. So we did actually factor that into our recommendations when we did the zoning update.
No, and I appreciate that. I wasn't even referring to the project. It was more like just regular homes.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like a dog barking. You really can't enjoy your yard. So this is instead of noise pollution, it's like pollution trespass. And you sit out and you're trying to look north and you can't even see the sky from the glare. You know, so there's, I don't think everybody realizes like when you're sitting in your house and your lights are on, how bright it is because it's diffuse. So you're looking out into darkness roughly, but it's, you know, you're lighting it up a little bit versus looking at it. You know, you're in that yard looking at it. I've invited neighbors to come and look at this. Oh, it's not that bright, you know, like, but it is, it bothers me. So anyway, and
could
it
I
does cast more of a shadow than moonlight, you know, like, so they'll say one lux, I'm sorry.
Your name.
Oh, sorry, Michael Andrello.
Once again, anywhere I work in the state, they had a boulevard, it's probably 4.5 miles long, it was all lanterns and street lights, all downshaded, it was beautiful. But
Jim,
last year when I was there, they took them all out, and the whole neighborhood went dark, and they saved $3 million.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Think of that, and it increased the values in the community.
Yeah, like a lot of people, I grew up in New York, now I'm in Deerfield for a reason. You know,
right.
I wanted to get away from some of the street lights. I still love you to death.
Thanks for bringing that up. Great point.
We're in Deerfield, you know, so when I was growing up, it was dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I hope it makes it in the newsletter. Is that lost coming? I knew you said coming to a town near you.
Sure.
Coming to the state.
Dan,
yeah.
can you give me that
It get kicked down the road every year, though.
Did that, I thought that was still in, what do they call
yes.
it? Thank you. It was. Did it pass the assembly?
I'm not sure. I think it's, maybe he knows, but it was going to be enacted 24, then 25, then 26. I think it might be up to 28 now.
I have
if
the
it was
bills.
An environment, yeah, I got
I,
all
I
the
have
different.
The bills, and I think we went back and forth. I'll share those with the
yeah,
board so
I just,
know the stats.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about confusion because then we'll have all of this 3 years before the bill gets passed. So if I put it in now that there's
well,
a bill...
We'll word it properly. So
yeah,
it
it's more like, hey, this is common, so maybe you can replace your light now instead of the last minute.
And it's still a committee. You could do one of those links where you should day or nay to your assembly person or, you know, and express your opinion. So that
I need a full-time deputy.
Well, because they have public comments as well.
And not that
I can't do all this.
Place, you can do something sooner. There's a lot of dark sky communities, you know, the international dark sky organization.
Okay,
just
thank you.
First time here.
Thank you.
Probably bring it up again someday. Thank you.
I just want to say something off topic. If you could have a car doors locked that night, the
there's a lot of people going around opening hardware, and some people get like hardware that
is kind of common sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Good point. It's good people in my life, so.
They're out on Marty and Floyd.
All right, well, no executive session, so we'll move on to motion to pay bills. I need a motion to pay general fund bills 177 through 210.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Need a motion we approve highway bills 101 through 119.
My motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
Okay. I need a motion we pay sewer bill number 5.
I'll make that motion.
What I say?
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
And I need a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
Okay.
I have a copy. Is that what you're asking me? Thank you.